I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. First, I have to give you guys a heads up. The beginning of the intro for Coach John with North Texas Soccer Club has a weird issue with it. I couldn't correct it. I just want to give you a heads up on that. Then this week's episode is with North Texas Soccer Club. And this place has a special place for my family just because we enjoy watching games here. So I'm not doing a ramble on too much. Let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
John Gall, head coach, North Texas Soccer Club.
Thank you, John. So how long have you been coaching for? I always think this is a fun question.
Now you're going to date me. I actually started coaching while I was playing collegiately in Oklahoma City. That was in 1995. So I've been coaching a few years.
Wow. Not that long. In the grand scheme of things, I've...
Exactly.
So when does your season start this year for North Texas Soccer Club?
So first official game is March 15 at Choctaw Stadium against Vancouver. And I believe today we are officially releasing the schedule. So I think that's this afternoon.
That's awesome. I was just getting ready to ask that next question. Can we find all your games to be streamed when you guys are away? Because if we can't watch them when you guys are home.
It's a split between MLS Season Pass on Apple TV and MLS Next Pro.
We can find them online. It won't be that hard to find.
It's on the MLS Next Pro website.
I know last year we could watch some of the games.
Yeah.
You already said it's at Chalk Hall Stadium. So we're going doing good here. With this season coming up, I know that where you guys practice up in Frisco, are the practices technically open to the public to come watch and enjoy, okay, or do you guys have closed sessions?
Yeah, they're closed sessions.
Okay. We always watch from the fence when my son would go to FC Dallas camps, yep, and peek, yep, through the fence because you guys would be close to where they would do camp. And
of course,
from a distance, we would watch, or if it, because it starts at, camp started like at 8 o'clock in the morning. So we're sitting on the wet bleachers,
exactly,
waiting for camp to start in 15 of minutes course, to go watch you guys.
Yeah.
Since you started with FC Dallas's academy program, do you feel like you have a good grasp of the culture they're creating? I mean, Nico's been here for a few years now. You've coached with FC Dallas for several years. Do you feel having the advantages versus other coaches prior, because I think they've had three coaches now. Do you feel like you have a greater understanding of the methodology that's going on behind the scenes to create a better culture for these players coming through the academy and scouting players?
I think there's no doubt there. I've been fortunate to come through pretty much every layer in the club here, from coaching in Classic League with young teams through academy and young academy teams. I was an assistant with some mid-level academy teams, mid-age, 14s, 15s, and then obviously I was head coach with the 19s. So I've been around here a long time, certainly know the culture, certainly know the expectations from ownership, from leadership within the club. I think it gives me a real good foundation and platform for me to begin what I want to achieve here with North Texas Soccer Club, because at the end of the day, my job is to push players from me to the first team, and not only just to push them to the first team, but actually have them ready to step on the field for the first team. So a lot of it has to do with culture. A lot of it has to do with pride for the club. A lot of it has to do with understanding the methodology, the curriculum. And again, being around here for a long time, I have a real good grasp on what it takes to an FC Dallas player playing out on Toyota Stadium here.
And I know you took over at the end of last season, and I feel like you kind of, like we just talked about, you had the advantage by coaching through the academy. I know that the end goal of every season is to win, but it's sometimes hard because you have to rebuild because your philosophy might not align with the last coaches. And I know that being the reserve team or the second team to FC Dallas, you guys kind of follow the same model. But do you feel like because you came from that background, the rebuilding process this year won't be as much of a struggle because you have been already integrated into the system coming up to the upcoming season, so you guys will have the edge of not having a true rebuilding season?
Well, yes and no. The reason why I say no is because essentially every year within the second team or the reserve team, we do have a lot of new players. We've added a lot of new pieces to the group this year that are very new to the organization and how we play and how we do things and what we want to do. I think it's down to the coach to get players to understand what the standards and expectations are and how we want to do things, what we want to do, when we want to do them. And again, a lot of the rebuilding this year has been bringing players in that we feel are adaptable to our system and style of play and how we want to do things. So I think that it's a little bit down to, yes, I have the experience and the knowledge of what is expected here at the club, but it's also a challenge each year because you're bringing in new players, you're bringing up young academy kids. And then secondly, you're having first team players who are needing minutes and who are wanting minutes to play with us too. So it's a little bit of a melting pot, but it's something that I thoroughly enjoy and I enjoy the challenge. I've been in the coaching world for a long time, so I feel I have a good grip on my organization, how I want things done. And I think that translates to the players. And I'm hoping the next 6 weeks through preseason, we can get the team all on the same page and understanding what's expected. We have a bunch of preseason games coming up that will give us a good benchmark, kind of where we're at, where we want to be, what we need to change, what we need to tweak. And obviously, within all of this, I have a fantastic relationship with Nico and the first team and all the staff there. And we're very clear and familiar with how we want to do things. And we certainly want to be very, very close to what the first team is doing. So I think there's a lot goes into it. And I know that was a little bit of a long-winded answer. I think that the key thing for me is drawing from my knowledge of what's expected, but then also having the ability as a coach to to mold a bunch of guys together that are pretty much new to each other, and some of them are even new to the country. So it's a great challenge, and I love it.
Not to bounce around too much, the team dynamics, I think at this level, because it is kind of a restructuring every year, you don't have a senior level. Matt Denny last year talked about how the average age caps out about 22 mm-hmm. for FC Dallas, at least for yeah. North Texas. I shouldn't say FC Dallas. I'm sorry about yeah. that. For North Texas soccer, caps out about 22 mm-hmm. and they try to keep it young or younger. Do you find that to be a challenge then? Because these players are all coming from high octane environments already, coming mm-hmm. in and playing, but they have the mentoring side of the game. I mean, you as a coach have several years of experience, and mm-hmm. the coaching staff I'm assuming you have around you has a lot of years. And I'm assuming
yep.
that the mentoring going on, is it more from the coach's side, or do they get mentorship from the first team as much as you guys then?
Well, obviously we are spending most of the time with them, but again, there's many of our players who train with the first team, who get minutes for the first team. So they are getting mentorship from many different avenues and aspects. Obviously, I think the key for me when you talk about coaching, I mean, obviously you have to understand the game and what's expected with the X's and O's and the tactics and all that good stuff. But if you don't have a relationship with players, you can forget it. So it's something that I strive for on a consistent basis to get to know people, because we are dealing with people and we're not dealing with robots, and they have emotions and we have emotions. And I feel I have a pretty good grip on understanding what these players are going through, what they are needing, and figuring out a way how to mentor them and kind of deal with them and get them to where they want to be. Because let's make no mistakes about it, that I'm coaching a team that, when you really look at it, none of them want to play for me. They want to play for the first team. So I am in a melting pot of a group of guys that want to be with the first team. But the message is quite clear for me that if they don't take care of business at our team, then there's no chance of them taking care of business at the next team. So we try to educate them and get them to understand that playing for us and developing through us and winning and dealing with all the highs and lows of what a professional team goes through will allow them to have a chance of playing at the next level. We certainly have a bunch of guys that love playing here for North Texas Soccer Club, because they certainly know what the standards and expectations are for them to get to the next level. So
that's, I didn't even think about it that way, of you having all these players want to advance to the first team. I've always looked at it as, I need to do well this season so I have a chance for next season on the first team. Not every mindset is maybe I can go jump in if X, Y, and Z happens on the first team. I know that the first team had some struggles mid-seasons with injuries last year. So yeah. There's a lot of players coming up from North Texas, which was awesome to watch as a yeah. fan that had watched some yeah. of these players the prior year.
Well, and again, it kind of goes back to the relationship you have with these people. They're young people, they're ambitious, they're competitive, they want to play at the highest level. Of course, any young professional player wants to play at the highest level that he can play at. And if you don't have a good grip on these guys, you'll lose them really quickly, because at the end of the day, they want to be somewhere else. But I feel that I felt that what we did the last 9 games of last season really kind of established and I think stamped the authority, I think, if that's the right word, because we're not iron fisted and we're not, this is a place where we want people to enjoy and come to work every day and love what they're doing. So I think that we do a really good job of that. The transition from trying to get to the first team is a little easier for them because they do enjoy playing for us at North Texas Soccer Club so much. We have a great thing going. We have a great team chemistry. We have great relationships from within our staff. We all get along really, really well. And it's something that I've kind of burdened our staff with a little bit more than anything, rather than worrying about X's and O's first. Let's make sure the players understand that we're going to be the hardest working staff in the country at this level, and we are going to have the most fun. So there's two ways that we approach it, and I think that bleeds into the players. And then the players carry those same traits. They're the hardest working players in the league, and they have more fun than anybody else. So I think people forget that sport is an avenue to enjoy what you're doing. Of course, we want to win. We want to make money. They want to make money. They want to be successful. They want to have contracts. They want to do well in this game. But first things first, let's enjoy what we're doing, because without that stuff, you're not going to get where you want to be. So,
you touched on that the last nine games of last season. You talk about making an impression there. So do you think the things you learned coming off from the tail end of last season, coming into this season, are you able to implement some of the things that you saw that with the current roster that you had and coming forward with the roster that is still remaining from last season and the signings that you did this year already, are you able to implement the goals or the strategy you might have in place for the season more easily now?
Yeah, again, we do have a lot of new players, so it's a rebuilding in terms of personnel, but it's just reinforcing what our principles are and what we expect on a day-to-day basis and how we want to try and play games. And of course, you tweak things a little bit based on your opponents and what they have and what they don't have and some strengths they might have and weaknesses they might have. So there's a lot of things that kind of goes into your day-to-day or your weekly kind of plan of attack. But again, being a line component to eventually what these players need to be doing, because at any moment, Nico can give me a call or throw me a text and say, hey, John, I need X, Y, and Z. And those players need to be ready. And those players could move from my training into their training that very day. And they need to be able to be familiar with what's going on at the first team, obviously, by doing similar things with us with the second team. So,
thinking of the first team, do a lot of your players end up going to, like right now the players are in Spain, do a lot of the players end up going with the first team to Spain just to have experience with the first team? Or
yeah, we have a bunch. We have, and again, there's a lot of young players in the club right now, but we have Carl Sante, we have Diego Garcia, we have Pedrinho, who we've just brought in from Flamengo in Brazil. He's there. We have a couple of players that the first team drafted, young players that are there getting experience right now. There's a lot of good things happening with our club in terms of young players having opportunities to kind of butt heads a little bit with the big boys. And it's really important that they get that experience. So it's a really good thing. And it's been great to follow them in their tour to Spain. So it's been really good. We've had a lot of positive feedback from the young players doing really well. So
that's awesome. Now, with implementing your criteria and your philosophy into the program now, you have goals. I know every team is to win, but outside of winning the league, do you have other goals set in place for your players this year that you can share?
Yeah, of course. I'm not going to tell you everything, but I think it's pretty simple for me, where we want to push as many players as we possibly can to the first team. That is our ultimate goal. That is our no questions asked goal of what we want at North Texas Soccer Club. We want to be able to not only push players to the first team, to be able to market those players around the world if that's what it takes, and give these kids opportunities to continue to push forward. Because I think over the last 10, 15, even 20 years in this country, the game has changed so much from a local market to now the world market, where not only are we getting players from all over the world, but there's opportunities and possibilities of teams wanting our players too. If the market is right and if things work out for that player and it's a good time and there's no need for that player in the first team because maybe we already have three central midfield players and this is another central midfield player doing well, we want to have those possibilities for these players. And then obviously we want to try and push these players towards their national teams too, whether it's youth national teams, whether it's full national teams. We have Carl Sante playing for Haiti on a consistent basis in CONCACAF. And then we also have a new player, Nico Gordon from Birmingham in England. Nico is a Montserrat international, a full international. He's already had several caps. So we are wanting to not only push players to the first team, but push players around the world, push players into their national teams to continue to perform and do very well. I would say kind of that's our global objective within the club. I think then you have short-term, you have mid-term, and then you have long-term goals. And I don't think there's any way of getting away from when you're coaching at the professional level, there's an expectation of winning games and being successful. And I think that is an important piece to this whole development thing, that if you don't have the mentality that you're trying to win and you're pushing players to be winners in everything that they do, whether it's on the field, off the field, taking care of their bodies, taking care of their rest and recovery and nutrition and hydration and all that stuff, I think you're selling the players short. So we're certainly a competitive staff. Michelle, Carl Zoback, Alex Aldaz, myself, and then all the support staff, we're competitive people, we're winners, and we want our players to be that too. And I know that the public will view winning as the results on the weekend, but we see results in very different forms, whether it's a player improving so much, he has a chance to go to the first team or represent the national team. Like Diego Garcia, at the tail end of last year, got called into the U-17 U.S. national team before he played for us in the last 9 games of the season. Diego was nowhere near the national team. These are the moments for us that we celebrate inside. And again, we certainly want to win games every weekend, but we're certainly wanting our players to be winners and have that winning mentality. So that's certainly something that is a staple for us day in and day out.
That's amazing. I do have a quick question. You talked about the draft, and I'm sorry to spring this one on you. Do normally draft players come directly into the first team, or do they come into what has become the more of the reserve team, or like a North Texas team or whatever, what other clubs might have? Most of them are number two. And I love that North Texas, it's a standalone club.
Yeah, so it depends, right? So essentially players that we draft, we spent a lot of time, we did a lot of research. Leo Baldo, Andre Zanotta, myself, Ben Cross, Drew Keeshan, Peter Lucene, Michelle. We were all part of the process within the combine and the draft and all of that good stuff. We spent a lot of time researching players, and really we were super happy with what we were able to draft out of college, with Logan coming from Oregon State, Turner Humphrey also the same thing from Oregon State, and then obviously Mads coming from SMU. So we're really, really pleased and happy with what we were able to get out of the draft. And essentially, the first team is always going to start before the second team in terms of timing for the season, because the MLS season is just a little bit longer. So naturally, those players are going to go into first team training. They're going to spend as much time as they can in there for us to kind of see how they adapt, how they handle and all of that good stuff. And then essentially at some point during preseason, Nico is going to make some decisions. And so ultimately the decision is going to start with Nico, the first team, Andre, Dan, and everybody who makes those decisions. And then essentially, if we feel it's a good fit for the second team or if it's a good fit for the first team, then decisions will be made from there. All those guys have been getting minutes with the first team in friendlies, and they're in Spain right now. And I know they're thoroughly enjoying their opportunity of being with the first team. And you know, I just think it's great that our first team have this philosophy of trying to bleed in young players as quickly as they possibly can, because at the end of the day, young players are the lifeline of your club. And if you don't take care of your young ones, it's very difficult to be successful later on down the road. So you look at any successful organization and they have young players coming through on a consistent basis, with obviously a handful of really experienced quality players. So I think that's a feature for us here at FC Dallas and North Texas Soccer Club.
Love it. Now, there's a lot of players from all over the world playing for you guys. So I know that DFW is, I call it the Mecca for Texas for soccer, because we develop here in this area. I'm not saying me. The coaches here develop players. I feel that you see more on the national stage. I mean, when you start looking at where players come from, pro players that are still playing today, a lot of them have some history here in the Metroplex. With that being said, how many players are more, I wouldn't say players, you could say, give me a number, but ratio wise, are more players from the Metroplex than from out of country or outside of the Metroplex? Do you know?
So I mean, it fluctuates, right? Each year there's going to be a generation of players that come through. There's then another year that maybe the generation is a little bit different, and maybe they've gone to college and they've have a different pathway. We have plenty of players that we have young professionals within our club that will probably spend some time at some point with North Texas Soccer Club this year. From Antonio Carrera, goalkeeper, you have Tariq and Malik Scott. They're both local kids. We've just brought Michael Collodi back. He was an FC Dallas Academy kid. We signed Leo Londe through the open tryouts. He's a kid from Grapevine. He's a local kid. You have Anthony Ramirez that is going to be with us. He's a kid from the Dallas. He came from through our academy. And then obviously you start looking at the academy kids that are coming through. I mean, there are a lot of them are local kids. We have a huge number of local products. And then obviously then you start looking at the first team. You look at Paxton Pomacall, who basically grew up about a quarter of a mile away from me in Highland Village. So then you have Jesus Ferreira, who is an FC Dallas kid through and through. From top to bottom, we have a lot of Dallas kids. We have a lot of Metroplex kids. And of course, in any professional organization, you're going to have kids that you bring in from other parts of the world, because I think football is a game of the world, and you bring kids from different backgrounds. We've just brought Pedrinho in from Flamengo in Brazil. We've just brought in Abdul Zane from the Ivory Coast, who spent some time with Loudoun United, where DC United's second team. And then we've just brought in Nico Gordon from Birmingham City in England. So it's really important for us that we sprinkle in experience from other parts of the world along to go with our local talent, because I think that any good football team will have a good mix of people and a good mix of backgrounds. And obviously, being a foreigner myself, I love it when I see local players having the experience of dealing with guys who have come from the other side of the world. I think it's amazing. I think it's fantastic. And it opens people's eyes to there's more out there than Frisco, Texas. There's more out there than Dallas, Texas. There's more out there than Texas, even though we're in Texas and we think that Texas is the only thing. So,
no, I get what you're saying. I know that you guys have normally a good mixing pot of players are from outside the area, or they get drafted from college and come play. Yep. It's just interesting because I know a lot of people, when you go onto social media, they always complain like, oh, they're signing more people from outside the United States. We have so many talented players here. But at the same time, I think people forget it's a business too when you're trying.
And again, I mean, not only is it a business, but I think people also have to understand that the more variety that you can bring to a team, I think it's more helpful for a team to break barriers and learn things from other people. The funny thing is, if you actually looked at most businesses here in the Dallas Metroplex, if you went around and said, hey, who's from Dallas? They would probably be very few people to put their hand up and say, I'm actually from Dallas. I mean, whether they're from New York City or Los Angeles or somewhere in Africa. I think football is very much like life itself. You get to be around different people from different cultures. And for me, it's just amazing just to see the interactions. And it's funny because yesterday the Ivory Coast played against Congo in the African Nations semi-final, and we have Abdul Zane, who is Ivorian and come from the Ivory Coast, and then Leo Londe, who is born and he's raised in Grapevine area, but his family is Congolese, and they played against each other. And training yesterday was pretty interesting. They were going after each other pretty good, and it was fantastic. So just those little things, it's great to see. I enjoy it tremendously. Just be in an environment where you have people from all over the world. So it's fantastic.
I think it's great that you have that perspective of the game. I think people from the outside, we get closed-minded and we don't always see it as the global picture. I always like the analogy that I've been given. Soccer is the universal language. It's not food. It's not anything else. It's football.
it really is, because we have some players that their first language is not English, and they pick up on the football lingo really, really quickly. So they understand how to stay wide and drop in and press the ball and don't give the ball away. And it's football, right? It's a language that is very hard to comprehend if you're not in this sphere of things, because I think people are going to really see again in this country in 18 months' time or whatever the case may be when the World Cup comes here, that football really is for the world and for everybody. And I think it's just an amazing thing with 48 countries playing now in the World Cup. Some people think that's a bad thing and it's watered down, this, that, and the other. But it just brings so many people together. It's incredible. So.
No, I think it's amazing. Now, with the upcoming season, do you see many challenges for the squad this season, or do you see it as a regular season for you guys, because you guys are always rebuilding. You guys are doing what you guys know best, and it's just, or is there some roadblocks that you guys are seeing in the near future?
And I get asked this question a little bit. Are there fears? Are there challenges? Are there things that you're worried about? And I think as a coach, if you have that mentality that you're thinking about the negatives, what if this goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? Of course, you have to have plan B, you have to have plan C, you have to have plan D and all that good stuff. But I think just as a person in general, as a leader of a group of people, you have to portray the fact that things are going to work. We are going to make them work. We are going to work to make them work. Things aren't going to come overnight. We had this discussion at the end of training today where some things in training need to be fixed and they need to be changed. The whole essence of preseason is to try and iron out some of those things early. I wouldn't say that I have too many fears. I wouldn't say that I'm worried too much about challenges. I mean, obviously my job is to try to bring a group of guys together to be on the same page and fight for the same thing and work for the same thing. We try and get players to understand that even though you want to get your MLS contract, you want to play in MLS, you want to play overseas, or you want to be an international player, first things first, you have to take care of business here. So we really do harp and we really do push the essence of taking care of business right here, right now for your team, because the harder you can work for your team, it's only going to benefit you. You're going to be successful for yourself as an individual, and you're going to help your team be more successful. The challenges probably if you did peel some layers back would be just getting everybody on the same page. That's a challenge, but it's a challenge that I love, and it's a challenge that I enjoy to come into work every day and roll my sleeves up and get those guys to be on the same page. So, and if they're not, we squeeze them pretty good. So.
Now, you guys just had tryouts finish up, I think, 2 weeks ago, if I'm remembering right. I'm giving today's date. Today's the 8th of February, so people understand, because it won't be for a little bit before this comes out. Did you guys think the tryouts this year, the players that are coming out, because I know last year you guys had quite a few signings with the tryout process. Yeah. Do you guys feel like the quality of players were still there, or do you think it was better this year than last year?
We have multiple tryouts, and sometimes you look at it and you say, oh, that wasn't as good as the last one, or this time last year it was better. And then all of a sudden you look at another tryout and it was like, okay, well, that was way better than the last one or last year. So I think it fluctuates. I think it's hard to pinpoint exactly, because obviously you're dealing with people from all over the world. We have a lot of players from outside the Metroplex coming, even though all of our tryouts are here locally. There's a lot of players who see the potential at FC Dallas and North Texas Soccer Club to pursue their dream of being a professional player. I think it was quoted the other day that there was over 400 players that came through tryouts this year. It's really a difficult challenge because you're trying to identify players and playing in a tryout when they don't really know their teammates. They've never played with them before. They've never been around. So you're basically kind of looking at individual talent rather than how they do as a team. But for me, I wrapped tryouts up this year, the last one we had down at MoneyGram, and it was a really good reminder for me of the importance of these tryouts for us as a club and us as people involved in the organization to allow these kids to pursue their dreams. All these kids want to be professionals. Some of them are close. Some of them are miles away. Some of them, and then you try to just put yourself in their shoes and just understand that this is their dream, and we need to make this professional. We need to give everybody a good look. We need to make everybody feel welcome in the tryouts. They're not just another number. And that's just been me, though. I mean, my whole life, whenever I've interacted with other people, I've tried to put myself in their shoes to understand kind of what they're going through and where they want to be. Because look, at the end of the day, we all have dreams to achieve things and to be the best that we can be. So you certainly don't want to ever not give those kids the time of day, because we have over 400 kids, and I can't tell you how many conversations I had with all those kids during tryouts, after tryouts, them following up, them finding my email somewhere and finding my phone number somewhere. Every message that I got, I responded to. It's really important because, like I said, I mean, these are people after all, and you have to make sure that you treat people correctly. And of course, we signed one player from tryouts this year, so one player out of 400. And that also doesn't account for the other several hundred players that we receive from agents and clubs. They're looking for opportunities at FC Dallas and North Texas Soccer Club. We spend a lot of our time looking at people and looking at players. So it's not an easy task, but it's something that I really enjoy. And it kind of reminds me of the importance of making sure people feel important.
I like that. Now, this is a lack of understanding on my side, and some listeners do follow you pretty closely. I know you guys' roster rules are not identical to the MLS side, and you can bring kids up from the academy. Maybe you can explain it to me a little bit. You have a set roster you guys start off the season with, and throughout the year, I always enjoyed watching kids come from the academy side. We went to go watch several of the U18, U19 games last year. Yep. My son and I did. And then we went to go watch a North Texas game, and some of those kids were on the pitch playing, and it was great to see that. Are you guys able to do that, or is there any changes to the rostering direction that you guys are allowed to do this year versus last year?
We can pull academy kids up. Obviously, there is a limit. It's our limit, because obviously there's only a certain amount of players that we can train every day with the team, and there's only a certain amount of players that we can put on a pitch, and we play once a week. And so there is a limit in terms of what we can do. And I think there's a limit for what we should do also, because sometimes when you move too many players up at the same time, it becomes not really a learning environment for them. It's a little bit more of what the environment that they've come from, because I think that young players need to learn from older players. Young players need to learn from experienced players. And those experienced players might only be 3 or 4 years older than them, but they have 3 or 4 more years experience. Some of them might have international experience. Some of them might have MLS experience to play for us. So I think there's a balance of kind of the old saying of who, what, where, and when. It's like, I don't think it's an exact science of how many, but I think we have a pretty good understanding of when is the right time to bring that player up. When is the right time to give him the opportunity? And then essentially, has that player earned it? Does he deserve that opportunity? Not just because we think he's going to be a good player. Is he a player that's performing? He has the right mentality, is coachable, and all of these things. We love bringing young players up. We have a U16 player in with us at preseason right now. We will probably have a couple of other younger players within the training setup. And then obviously we have a very talented under 17 and under 19 team. So we have a lot of players that we can pick from, if you like. And again, it's about timing is really important for players. So sometimes you can really make or break a player with decisions. And I think we do a pretty good job here at FC Dallas and North Texas Soccer Club about when's the right time and how much do we give that player to.
I will say, like I said, we see a lot of players come through this area, and there's a lot of players that have came through the FC Dallas youth program.
Sure.
And since 2019 have a lot of players coming from North Texas. So soccer club.
Yep.
I'm going to wrap this up with my favorite question now, because I feel like I have all my questions answered and we can get ready for the year and the upcoming season. And my favorite question is, you as a player, because I know you played, and you as a coach, who have been your two greatest influences on you? Or your greatest influences on you as a player and you as a coach?
I think probably subconsciously my biggest influence has been my dad. My dad was a player a long time ago and basically started me in the game and pulled me through, if you like. Sometimes the relationship with your dad when he's your coach or when he's involved in some of the things you're doing is a difficult one. But I really feel that the opportunity of spending time with him and understanding what was required to be successful, I think has stayed with me today. I mean, I pretty much talk to my dad on a daily basis about football and about things in general in life. So he's been a really big influence for me in terms of why I got involved in the game and probably why I started coaching at such a young age. It was just something that I enjoyed tremendously. And I think that he was able to kind of pass that enjoyment onto me, because I just remember the joy on his face when he was coaching and playing and all that stuff, and how I know it made me feel to see him do those things. And I have a couple of kids myself, and I think that I'm kind of passing on some of those same traits to those guys too. So that's a great thing. But in terms of maybe another influence, I mean, I had a coach in Oklahoma City, Brian Harvey, who essentially brought me over from the UK to play here in the States. I mean, I didn't even know where Oklahoma was before I came over to the States. Hopefully there's not too many listeners that I offend there, but I really didn't know where Oklahoma was. And Brian, being an English guy himself, kind of understood what I needed and all those things. And he was a real good mentor for me and kind of allowed me to do the things that I'm doing today. There's a lot of people that I can look to, especially these days here at FC Dallas. There's a lot of good people. There's a lot of good coaches. I think ultimately I spend a lot of time away from home and away from my family. The influence they have had on my career and allow me to do the things that I want to do has been amazing. They've put up with the bad moods when I come home and when we've lost a game or things haven't gone right. And then they've put up with me being in a good mood when they're not in such a good mood. So many people, I mean, I would say my dad and Brian in terms of the actual coaching and playing, but so many people here at the club, Chris Hayden, that I spent many years in the academy with Chris, and Oscar before he left, I spent a lot of time with him kind of coming through, Lucci within the academy, and then obviously Peter and Drew and Nico and all those guys in the first team. Those have been big influences on me too. And obviously I have a great staff within the organization right now with North Texas Soccer Club, from Matt and obviously Andre and Leo and Dan. And this really is a family club, and which I'm in a really good spot. I'm certainly humbled and privileged to be in the spot that I'm in, but I'm certainly not content. I want more, and I'll keep pushing for more. And that's not only an individual goal that I have, but the more that I can push, the more that I can affect people and affect my players, and hopefully get them to be the player that they want to be one day. So.
Hello, everyone. I hope you all have enjoyed this episode of Chat by the Pitch. John Gall answered all my questions. This is not my first interview with him. Listening to what he had to share about the upcoming season makes me excited. If you guys are looking for information on the upcoming season, please reach out. I'll put you in contact with people. I'll have links in this episode description of where to find tickets. On my Instagram post, I'll make sure that I have links there. I challenge everyone to go watch at least one match this season with North Texas Soccer Club. And if you can afford it, get tickets on field access level. You sit 6 feet from the touchline, maybe 8 feet. And let me tell you, that experience watching your kids watch the game that close, and watching how they get excited over certain things and how they communicate and how they talk to each other, is absolutely amazing. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. I'll try to answer them about North Texas Soccer Club the best that I can. If not, go look them up, follow their social media, and enjoy this upcoming season. Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.